Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Good morning, everyone. I've got a question to ask.
Do you want to be a ninja?
Taryn and Lita will tell you how.
They can't do it themselves because they're not that strong.
This is the American Ninja Warrior song.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Hapa podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Lita. How you doing, Lita?
I'm doing okay. This indoor Seattle rainy weather has me feeling a little bit under the weather today. I have a little bit of a cold, so I apologize if any of the vocal quality is less than my usual, but it's probably just that we're in the Pacific Northwest. There's all these people from Alaska. They're cold, so I have a cold.
There it is. That's definitely the case.
I just take on a lot of sympathy for these American Ninja Warriors.
Yes, this was a difficult episode.
I hated this episode.
We are here.
I hated this for so many reasons. Yes,
in Seattle, Tacoma. And we're going to see no finishers.
Yeah.
No finishers. And only three people even made it to the ninth obstacle.
Yeah, the power tower is like nothing. Like... It's not exciting. It's not even finishers. We finally got our answer to what happens if nobody finishes. I still want to know what happens if only one person finishes, because I still think they should automatically get the fast pass.
That's probably true. They probably should, but I think it would just be the finisher plus the fastest.
The fastest. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, we have a course here, starting with the shrinking steps, as usual, then the lunatic ledges, then the barrel roll. I still like the barrel roll. I feel like I barely saw it in this episode.
Barely?
Yeah.
Did you barely see it?
Yeah. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Then the lightning bolts. The lightning bolts. That's, I saw a lot of those.
Yes. A lot of people falling off of them.
Then the warped wall into the salmon ladder, then the floating monkey bars. I felt like this episode was just watch people do the lightning bolts and the floating monkey bars.
Yeah. I also, gotta say, I love the name of the floating monkey bars, because I wrote down after Nick Hansen went, I wrote the monkey bar thingy and then found out that they are called the floating monkey bars. Great name for an obstacle. Whatever I would call it anyway is what you should call the obstacle.
There you go. So then we get to obviously what you would call this obstacle, the Northwest Passage.
Oh, duh. Yeah,
you wrote this one down. You're like, oh, yeah, the Northwest Passage thingy.
That looks exactly. When I see some weird hooks on like a U-shaped climbing wall, I think that looks exactly like the Northwest Passage.
Obviously. And then that was the end of the course. There was no spider trap. They heard my complaints.
But yeah, they did. I'm not just Wikipediaing the Northwest Passage because I was going to make a comment about it and I didn't want to sound dumb. But it is where I thought it was in the Northwest. But,
oh, is it in the Northwest?
Yeah. So
thank you for Googling that for us.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's from the European and Northern Atlantic point of view.
There you go.
Which is, you know, what our Northwest is.
Mm.
Because, see, the world is round, so Northwest could be anywhere, depending on where you are.
Mm.
Like if you're standing on your head.
Yeah, but...
Northwest is Australia.
That just changes your perspective. It doesn't change... how we decide to call things the Northwest.
Right, but it's how we decide, which is why it specifies that it's from the European and Northern Atlantic point of view.
Okay, but...
I'm just reading the first sentence on the Wikipedia page.
If we all collectively decide something, one person can't just be like, nope, that's Northwest.
A lot of white dudes explored the Northwest Passage. Gonna assume there was some racism going on here.
It's a racist passage. Only racists explore this passage.
The ninth obstacle is canceled.
Oh boy.
problematic.
All right. So what a strange episode we have here, where there are no finishers and a lot of early defeats. But we start with Nick Hansen, who is going to be able to get all the way to the floating monkey bars. We start strong. It seems like, all right, first person gets to the floating monkey bars. That's pretty good. That's the eighth obstacle. We're doing pretty well here. Nick Hansen is just barely going to qualify for Vegas in the 11th spot. But things, they're just going to go downhill from here.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is one of those things where, like, before we were talking about, like, the level of competition, not just among the women, but, like, generally, like, the fields being stacked disproportionately. And it's like, oh, well, maybe, like, the course is just, like, easier here or whatever. So, like, it would have shaken out the same no matter what. But it's like, this course is undeniably so much harder than every other course.
Yeah.
Like, it's not close.
Yes. We saw a lot of big names going down in various places. I think that this course was not one that you could get through on physicality, which is usually how the qualifying courses go, is that if you are just like physically able enough, you have enough grip strength, enough, strength to weight ratio, and you have good enough, like decent enough body control. Just if you're athletic enough, then you can get through. Like Olympic gymnasts can typically get through a decent amount of the qualifying course, maybe some of the city finals courses. There's not a lot of like super technical skill that you need from these courses, but this one in particular really requires a lot of very detailed and technical ability, as well as an intense amount of strength and climbing ability, especially once you get to the Northwest Passage. But particularly with the lightning bolts here, where that was obviously a part of the qualifying course, but in the qualifying course you could fail on the lightning bolts and still qualify. So that didn't matter too much, and so when people went down, it wasn't a huge deal. But here, if you are not precise on those lightning bolts, you are going to fall, and then you're not going to Vegas. And then the same thing is true on the floating monkey bars. And it's the same type of grip as well. You're holding on to a bar. So you've already done something that requires a lot of precise, precision, which, when you're gripping, like the more precise you have to be, the tighter, I believe, you have to be holding the bar to control it in the way that you need to. The tighter you're holding the bar, the more grip strength you're using. So you have to do that through the lightning bolts. Then you get to the floating monkey bars. Of course, you have to do the salmon ladder as well, which is similar, but they're very used to that. Floating monkey bars, you have to land it in that little nook, in that little hook. And if you miss, then it really, really taxes your grip, because you're holding on with one hand and you're swinging and it's a moving bar. So if you miss even once, you're really just hanging on by the tips of your fingertips. And that is going to severely tax your grip strength. So you need to be very, very perfect and precise on the floating monkey bars. And if you manage to get through all of that, then your grip strength, I imagine, is very taxed when you try to take on the Northwest Passage. And that's why we saw people did not even get close to completing the Northwest Passage, because their grip strength was already gone.
Yeah, exactly. It's too much of similar things. And it's also too much room for error with one small mistake. Like, one small mistake takes you out, which is not the case on every obstacle.
Yeah. And not for nothing, Northwest Passage also requires a lot of precision with the hooking the things into the things. So Northwest Passage, we haven't even described it. It's you grab these like little handles with upward hooks, and you have to, stick them into the wall and then hook, like lock them in place with the hook fit going up, if that makes any sense. And so you have to go down a slanted sort of slope there, and then back up and then down again, and then you dismount. Nobody managed to get up the second, the upward slope.
Yeah, this qualifying course, this finals course is too hard. It's disproportionate. I understand that there's always going to be variation between some of the courses, but it's not fun when you don't expect anybody to finish after a certain part of the episode.
I actually don't mind it overall. I think the biggest problem I had with it was that one of the majorly difficult obstacles was in the qualifying course, half right. of it. And so because of that, we saw a lot of athletes drop that really should have been qualifying. It was kind of a crapshoot as to whether or not you got through the lightning bolts. And I feel like if the lightning bolts had been a back half of the course obstacle, then it would have been a little more balanced. Even just put Northwest Passage, you know, earlier in the course, and most people I think would have been able to get through that put the more finicky ones toward the end, where if you fall there, you still have a good chance of qualifying. But it was definitely a rough night here.
Maybe they needed to make sure that Northwest Passage looked really bad because they can never reuse it again unless they go to the Pacific Northwest again. It's not like you can take the Northwest Passage and put it in the Baltimore qualifiers for next year.
Honestly, like Northwest Passage to me reminded me a lot of the, I think they called it the hang climb or something from stage three.
Yeah.
That Drew Jeschel used to fall on every single year. It reminded me a lot of that. Honestly, maybe even a little more difficult, probably a lot more difficult, to be honest.
Because you have to put it in a certain spot rather than just grabbing it.
So I could see that as a stage three obstacle in that spot after the body prop. That's how tough that one is.
But then they'll have to call it the Pacific West if it's in Vegas.
I mean, do they have to?
Sort of Southwest.
It's a passage. You could still be passaging Northwest.
But they would have to face the entire stage three to face Northwest so that you can pass Northwest. The Vegas is sort of the Southwest, though.
Well, you can be aiming Northwest. That's what I'm saying.
Or is it sponsored by Kim Kardashian's daughter, Northwest?
There, yeah, that's it.
Did you know that that was the name of Kim Kardashian and Kanye West's daughter?
It's first name North and last name West, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't, if you had asked me, I wouldn't have been able to tell you, but I wasn't surprised to hear it.
Okay. Pop culture.
I've heard it before.
Savvy.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. You're a huge Kardashian stan.
Obviously, you know, it's a big in the reality TV world, you know.
You got to keep up with them.
Yeah. So Nick Hansen is going to make it to the floating monkey bars. He will qualify. We then had Jeremy Taiwo, who is a decathlete. He's an Olympic athlete, Olympic decathlete. He's one of these Olympic athletes that's going to compete. That's what I said. Like physicality, you know, did enough for him in the qualifying course, but not this time. He went out very quickly.
Yeah, this is sort of like a whole string of bummers.
Yeah.
For a while. But his dad was really cute. He was also an Olympic athlete for Nigeria.
There you go. We then had Jake Murray right away.
Remember when he ate that corn dog?
You know, you never know what to expect. He ate a corn dog once.
That was literally 3 years ago.
So this time, in the qualifying course, he came out as Hannibal Lecter in a straitjacket, but it wasn't really a straitjacket. It was a tearaway suit. But guess what, guys? Didn't really work out for him the first time around.
Yeah, he's describing it to us like we aren't literally looking at it while he's talking. He's like, so I was in, Grant McCartney wheeled me out and I was in this thing and it kind of looked like a straitjacket. It's like, we know, we can see it. You can just tell us about the having to do two takes.
Mm. Yes. So it was funny to watch the failure the first time. But it did feel like we were being set up for more failure in the future. Hopefully we don't screw things up. I'm going to take it easy on this one. But Jake Murray is going to be the first of many here that go down very early on the lightning bolts. And that's going to be it for his season.
You know what they say, if you can't get out of your straitjacket bodysuit properly, you're not going to get through the course properly.
There it is. So that's it for Jake Murray. No corn dogs to be had in Vegas.
Second time we haven't seen him in Vegas in a couple of years.
Yeah. you know, Grant should be very happy that he was not competing in this season.
Wait, Grant's not competing in this?
In this, on this city, I meant to say.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait, did something happen?
Because Grant has also had some trouble making it to Vegas here, and this would not have been a good course for him, I imagine. Right. Jackson Meyer is also going to fail here on the Lightning Bolts. No Boy Scout Ninja.
Oh, no.
And then Glenn Albright as well is going to fail on those Lightning Bolts.
You know what his job is? Glenn Albright is a meat carver.
Mm.
So this was the montage of all of Lita's faves going out on the Lightning Bolts.
The Lightning Bolts working in your favor at the start of the episode.
Only at the start.
Yeah. Next up is David Moonen, who is going to make it to the Floating Monkey Bars. And he is he's the second fastest to the Floating Monkey Bars. We'll see him qualify for Vegas.
Yeah. And he's the CEO of a canoe making company, which to me just means that he makes canoes and sells them.
That, I mean, sounds like it.
Yeah. That tracks to me. Yeah. But he just calls himself a CEO.
Well, I mean, if you can.
CEO could stand for canoe enthusiast
operator.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we get to Maddie Howard, who is a nurse here in ICU nurse, 23 years
yeah.
old.
Yeah. And her body is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Good for Maddie. She's very beautiful.
Yeah. You know, I was saying in the qualifying episode, poor other women here, that they have to deal with Meghan Martin and Jesse Graff. But Maddie Howard proves us wrong. Maddie Howard makes it all the way to the flying the floating monkey bars, and she's gonna qualify for Vegas.
Yeah, she does, and she qualifies outright. So both of the women who qualified did qualify outright in this episode.
Yeah.
Which is great. There was no like women's rule in play. And the person in 13th place was also a woman. So we were very close to having 3 out of 12 qualifiers be women.
Mm, yeah.
Remember that time that two women qualified that didn't make it to the back half of the course? God,
yeah.
It makes me so mad.
And so it's like we packed this city with like top tier female competitors, and then we made the course
impossible.
Real
yeah,
real hard. So but it almost worked out. It almost made it almost easier for the women to qualify in some ways.
Yeah, but that's only because they had like the most exceptional women in competition. Right. Here literally the most exceptional woman.
Maybe the thought was, if we make the course super hard and we stack the women, then we might see more women make it into the top tier. And then we can be like, it's the Fantastic Five. We did it.
Yeah, I guess maybe that was the thinking. But that sucks that women are getting screwed over and women who don't necessarily deserve it are making it to fit their like optics.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a strange thing when there's a rule that advances two women, and like it sounds more fair, right? Because it used to just be, mm-hmm. we're just going to invite all the big name women, yeah. regardless of how they do in qualifying. Right. And they changed.
That was the wild.
Right. They changed,
which was nothing. Yeah, yeah.
They changed the rule to make it theoretically more fair, which is that you have to qualify. And, you know, there's two spots in each city, but then it's really just comes down to who gets picked for what city sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I mean,
yeah.
Thankfully this one wasn't because of, it's not that Sandy didn't qualify because of anything that had to do with the women's role. Like this was like completely fair and outright. It just wasn't fair because of the way that this was all stacked. I think I'm officially out on the women's role. Mm-hmm. It's just, we don't need it. Like, I get the idea. I think that the solution, like, it was in good faith because the wild card didn't make any sense. And I found the wild card very patronizing. I think it's better to just get rid of the wild card. We have enough people in Vegas. I don't really know why we would need this.
Yeah. Well, you're saying get rid of get rid of any special rule whatsoever.
Yeah. I really don't think we need it. I don't know. Like, it is like a noble effort to make sure that you have women in Vegas, but I don't think you need it. I think no matter what, we're going to have women in Vegas. Three almost qualified here on their own. It wasn't in play in this season. I think if you do a more even distribution of strong women across the court, and I understand that some people are surprises, like they didn't know that Maddie Howard was going to best Megan Martin here. Like, how could they? But it's also like, you have to know that putting Megan and Jesse in the same city when there are cities that don't have any recognizable women is a mistake.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like I sort of see where you're coming from. I feel like they'll never do it, though. Like they want at least, you know, 12 women to show in Vegas. And, you know, this is a way of ensuring that they have plenty of women to show in Vegas. And like, while we did lose one big name, for the most part, it also ensures that the biggest name women are going to be in Vegas. And that's what they want to have, all the biggest names there as many as they can to, you know, promote the final national finals.
I know, it just feels so patronizing.
Damn. I hear you
in a lot of ways, like I don't know, but it is better than wild cards, even if it's only maybe like the very top woman outside of the top 12 would be better. I don't know. Also, why is it now top 12 and not top 15? What was the reason for that?
It's the top two women plus the safety pass, you know, takes 15 from each city minus two women minus the safety pass or speed pass or whatever it is.
But if this was just, if the women's rule didn't exist, then it would still be the top 14 minus the speed pass, right? Yeah. So Sandy Zimmerman would have qualified. She was 13th. The women's rule screwed her out of a spot.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that sucks.
That is weird because the two women were in the top 12, then we only saw 13 people from the city move on instead of 15.
Right. Yeah. It's not fair. It incentivizes women to do worse. If one woman had done worse, then if Maddie had done worse and come in 13th and she and Sandy were 13th and 14th, then they both would have made it. That's so stupid. If like one more man was in there, you know what I mean?
I don't.
If the top 12 were, oh wait,
if she wasn't in the top 12, then she would have just taken the second female spot. Yeah. So there would have been another person, but it wouldn't have been Sandy.
Either way, without the women's rule, we would still have 14 people going. Sandy would have qualified outright.
Yeah.
So that's dumb.
Yeah, I feel like at the very least, if the women make it, if they qualify in their own right, then the women rule should be applied to those that don't qualify.
Yeah, or at least the top one.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. I'm just mad that Sandy didn't qualify. It's stupid.
Yes. Well, Maddie did. Very happy for Maddie. Yes. I really enjoyed seeing her on the course. She made it all the way to the floating monkey bars, and she made it there very quickly. She was in the middle of the pack, above four other men that made it there, fairly significantly faster than some of them as well. So very, very good job by Maddie Howard there. So then we get to Christy Marie, who went down on the broken bridge.
Another Alaskan.
Sean Darling Hammond went out on the floating monkey bars. He was the slowest to the floating monkey bars by a long while, actually, by almost, a good 40 seconds or so slower than Nick Hansen. And I don't know how fast Sandy was, but I can't imagine she was much slower than Sean Darling Hammond. But he went down on those floating monkey bars, trying to make that dismount. And then Scott Behrens, he is the guy who he has kids who competed on, what was it? The Ninja Warrior Junior?
American Ninja Warrior Junior. Yeah. We didn't watch that.
No, we didn't.
I don't know. It seems like these, every time it's mentioned that like, parents train with their kids, they're always on American Ninja Warrior Junior. Is it possible to be on that show if your parent isn't on American Ninja Warrior?
I imagine so.
It just seems like all of them, like between all these kids that have ninja parents.
I can tell you there is a female version of Sasuke, like a female only version. I can't pronounce the Japanese name for it. But I watched that. It's actually very good. And there's like this really awesome woman that was really good on it. But there was an element of like a lot of the women that were competing in that they all had like male counterparts from Sasuke.
They had like a relationship with somebody.
Yeah. Like, and they would be on the sidelines like, yeah, go.
Yeah.
So, they really do like to, use the star power of their main show to sell these side ones. They should have that for college madness too. They should have,
like coaches. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they cut any like college student that's on the show now, any 19-year-old, like the kid or whatever, they're like, oh yeah, like it's like Drew Dreschel or Sonny being like, I've had my eye on him
whoever.
Like we've met once.
All right. So Scott Behrens, they seem to imply that his kids did well in American Ninja Junior, but I don't know.
Yeah, one of the kids got three buzzers, whatever that means.
There you go. He made it all the way to the floating monkey bars, of course, and then went down as most people did. He is also going to qualify for Vegas.
Great.
All right. Then we get to Lance Pekus. Lance Pekus.
His shirt is so stupid.
Oh, he had the beef shirt.
It says beef. It's what's for ninja. What?
You know, it's funny you say that because I was going to say I liked the outfit.
Why? His jeans don't fit and his shirt is stupid.
I like the outfit because normally he doesn't have a shirt and I like him with a shirt.
I think I would rather him have no shirt than have a really stupid shirt.
We've talked about it before. I haven't liked his look in the past. He had a shirt. It looked good. Yeah, it had a dumb phrase on it, but he's making progress.
I'm just adamantly against apparel of the Beef Council.
you're still pro Big Spider.
Pro Big Spider.
Anti Big Beef.
Right, anti-big beef. Unless the beef council is like tribal council, but it's all cows, because that sounds adorable.
What, do they then cook the ones they vote out?
No, no. They go to the jury like any other.
Yeah, that's definitely where they go.
They go to the big jury in the sky, Taryn. They go to a jury upstate.
They're playing at a farm in the jury house. Ponderosa Farm. Ponderosa. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, Ponderosa is actually the name of a steakhouse. The Ponderosa Buffet.
Ponderostum. All right. So Lance Pekus gonna not find success on the course here. He is going to go down as well on the lightning bolts, as many others are. He is another big name to be struck by lightning here.
Yeah, remember when he got the final spot in qualifying, even though Jesse Graff was there? He was like their big star, so I was happy to see him going in the middle and very happy to see Jesse going last.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then we have Carson Voiles, who is going to be a big name of the night here.
Jeez, he's had a rough year.
Yes, yes.
Everybody's sick.
His father was having organ failure and looked like he was going to die. And he said goodbye to his father, but then he managed to survive and live through it. And he was, interviewed in the thing. And he also had his wife had like a tumor.
And he's been sick with stomach issues.
Maybe he's so used to adversity that this course did not faze him, and he was able to pull through here.
Man, it must be so awkward to say goodbye to somebody that you're sure is going to die, and then they pull through. It's like when you say goodbye, and then you both walk in the same direction.
Mm. It's like, that was a good goodbye.
Yeah, now I've got nothing to say when you actually die.
Yeah, I already told you everything.
I'm sorry I revealed all those secrets. It's going to make things weird going forward. All my tattoos.
Yeah, I already told you about how I sabotaged the lightning bolt obstacle so that I could get the speed pass.
Yikes.
Don't tell anyone. Wow. I know they're coming to interview you.
What an accusation, Carson Boyles.
All right. Well, he did manage to get through the lightning bolts, and he also got through the flying monkey bars, not without a little bit of trouble, but he was the first person to face the Northwest Passage. Does not get too far on it, though. I believe he made it down, and then the second he started trying to go up, he went down.
Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah. So there you go. But he is going to get there fairly quickly. So, you know, he's going to be able to get in that top two spot.
Yeah, this must have been weird because the people who qualified for the Power Tower probably were not expecting all night to be going to the Power Tower. So probably were like cooling down, like eating a snack.
Yeah.
They're like, well, we didn't finish. So why would we?
Yeah. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Then we had, I believe we had a lightning bolts montage where we saw Rainer, Junt, Gavin Maxwell, Ben Martin, Bart Copeland, all going down on the lightning. Lots of, they said half the competitors that night had fallen on the lightning bolts up until that point.
That's too many for the first half of the course.
Yeah. Then we see Sandy Zimmerman, and there I was a little bit here at first, like, okay, because they're first mom to make it up the warped wall. She has become a superstar. She is, you know, she is famous now for being the first mom to do it. And it's like,
like, this hasn't aired yet.
Yeah, not only has it not aired yet, it wasn't even true. She hit the buzzer. So she was the first to hit a buzzer because she did it in qualifying and the others did it in the city finals. So they didn't hit a buzzer when they did it. So I think that's why ultimately they went with Sandy, because she did it in qualifying. And so when they air it, qualifying is obviously going to come before finals, even though they did the other thing first. And ultimately it really doesn't matter.
When you cut to the clip, it's way more satisfying to have them hitting a buzzer when they hit the top door ball.
Yeah. But
rather than just keep going to the salmon ladder.
But it still does feel like it's pretty arbitrary that she did it theoretically first, and now she gets all like the credit and the superstardom that they claim her to get, which, I mean, is she really getting superstardom? I don't know.
Wow, Taryn, famous Sandy Zimmerman hater, underminer.
Well, she talked about how she had a rough childhood, and that, she is now, this newfound success was unexpected.
Yes.
Yes.
And, now she inspires kids in her community, which is great.
Yes.
Because the foster system is very effed up.
All right. So she did make it through the lightning bolts. She got, all the way through the salmon ladder and then went on to the floating monkey bars. Just did not quite get there fast enough. She, as we talked about, very nearly got there fast enough, but not quite enough. And she did go down on the floating monkey bars. So she is just going to miss out on Vegas.
Yeah, I'm upset.
Yeah.
For the first of two times.
Then we see Leif Sundberg, who competed in the Power Tower in the qualifying. He is also going to go down on the lightning bolts.
He didn't get the pass, did he?
No, that was Sean Ryan.
Oh, right. Sorry, yeah. Forgot.
Then we saw Matt Dolce, who went out on the floating monkey bars and did qualify for Vegas. And then we went to Dan Yeager. We joined him somewhere on the course. A little bit
it's
through
like fourth obstacle. Yeah. Yeah. And you know he's going to do well because Dan Yeager always gets montage.
Yes. So they were like, oh, we have to show him because he made the stupid Power Tower.
It's so sad.
So we're still
going to
skip part of his run.
Yeah, he's like the least appreciated Wolfpack member by the show.
Yes, he did manage to get through the lightning bolts. That's a big deal. And he then went through the floating monkey bars. I don't think I saw anybody obviously, because only three people managed to get through the floating monkey bars. So none of the people that made it through the floating monkey bars made it through perfect. Like, nobody just landed everything. It's, you know, they had to survive a few misses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's why the monkey bars are sort of, I think, better for the first half of the course than the lightning bolts, because you can recover if you miss. The lightning bolt, because you jump both at once. If you miss, then you're just kind of done.
Yeah. So he did manage to get through the floating monkey bars and made it all the way down the first slope of the Northwest Passage. And then on the upslope, he started to use that figure four technique that we've seen in Ninja Warrior before. It's a climbing technique, as they describe it to us. And that did not get him too far, though. I think... You know, I'm still torn on whether or not that's actually a good way to go about this. My guess would be no. My guess is that if you have to use this technique, then you're probably already too gassed to make it all the way up, because it takes so long to do it and you're still hanging there. My guess is that this is one of those obstacles where you just need to have plenty of gas in the tank. It's not only about precision, but even if you have the precision, you need to just have the endurance left to make it all the way through. And the faster you do it, obviously, the better. So, if you're slowly going up leg by leg, then you're probably not going to make it through.
Yeah, probably not. I don't know. I just feel like who could have done this besides Drew? Like someone like Josh Levin, maybe, but this just seems so specifically designed for climbers. Mm-hmm. It would have been interesting to see Megan on this course.
I wanted to see Sean. I want to see Sean this one on, but it didn't work out for us. Because I feel like if anyone could have completed the Northwest Passage in this city, it would have been Sean.
Yeah, you're right.
But didn't get there, as we'll talk about. So then he falls on the way up that slope, and I was immediately worried because there were like multiple handles falling down on top of him. It looked like he caught it, so I was like, okay, he's fine. But no, actually, he just had one in his hand as he went down. Another, the one that fell was not caught by his hand. It was caught by his head. And he is bleeding profusely from the head as he gets out of the water. Just more injuries here. And this one, whereas most of them, I'm like, what are you going to do? Like, they're obstacles. They're tough sometimes. This one definitely seems unsafe to have those handles, and they have some sharp edges, it looks like. And they look very heavy too. Like this usually with obstacles like this, they're attached to some kind of wire or string so that when the person falls, the bar or whatever it is won't fall down on top of them. But not the case with this one. And immediately, only three people did this obstacle, and one of them was injured by this. And we'll talk about it when Jesse fell, the same thing happened. She just happened to not get hit by them.
Yeah, and Dan Yeager, bleeding from his head, is like, oh man, okay, qualified for Vegas, gonna go lie down. And they're like, no, you have to do more ninja.
Yeah. I mean, looking forward to the power tower, is it any wonder Dan had a couple of misses there?
Yeah, no, he's like, am I concussed? Like,
oh boy. So that's what happened. They really need to fix that handle situation. Then we get to, if that wasn't depressing enough, Megan Martin.
I'm always so nervous when she's on the course, like more than anybody else.
Yeah. Obviously, there have been a lot of people falling on the lightning bolts. Very concerned about that. I got to say, for some reason, I knew something bad was happening here. I just felt it.
I thought so too, but it was because Matt and Akbar were like, if ever there was a course that was set up for Meghan Markle. Meghan Martin. They're both extremely beautiful women. And their names sound very similar. Meghan Martin. They were like, if any course was ever set up for her, it was this one. I was like, don't say that.
Yeah.
Don't say it.
I think also like it came right on the tail of Dan Yeager making it all the way like further than anyone else. And they usually don't do two in a row that make it really far. So I was, I wasn't like fully like, oh, this is definitely, I just had a bad feeling. And yeah, it, it was right to have a bad feeling because, she, I believe, did go down on the lightning bolts in qualifying. And so, when she gets back here again, she is unfortunately once again going to fall here on the lightning bolts. This time, it's not going to be enough to make it to Vegas.
First time she's ever not gone to Vegas.
Yeah. Which, man, are they counting how long? They've only had the women rule for two seasons now, right?
Yeah, but it said that this was the first time in 6 years that she hasn't gone to Vegas.
Right. So I'm wondering if they're counting like the wild card status that they used to have.
They must. Yeah. They must. She definitely didn't qualify outright right. for all of those years.
So it's not quite as sad if you think about it that way.
No, but it's still sad for her personally. This yes. is the first time she's ever going to not go to Vegas.
Yes. Yeah, it is unfortunate here. So that's it. That's it for Meghan Martin. We're not going to get to see her attempt stage one. Luckily, we still have plenty of other talented women that can take on the course. I think we have a lot of people who are capable of beating stage one as long as there are no lightning bolts on stage one in Vegas.
But none of them are my best friend.
It's true.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah. All right. Well, we then had Marquez Green, and this was the guy who, I think he was the guy with the twin or sibling.
I have no idea.
He went out on the lightning bolt, so it doesn't matter.
Oh yeah, I vaguely remember the twins.
Yeah. Then we get to Zach Scholes, who went down on the floating monkey bars, and he will qualify for Vegas. He's 19, one of those 19ers. Then
is that what they're called?
Yeah, 19ers.
19ers.
No, 19ers. That's it.
Okay.
Nate Burkhalter is going to take on the course here. He does make it through the lightning bolts and all the way to the floating monkey bars, where he goes down again. This course is literally just floating monkey bars, lightning bolts, or other way around, lightning bolts, floating yeah. monkey bars. Nate Burkhalter will get there fast enough to qualify for Vegas. Then we get to Alex Hatch, who was a tugboat guy, sailor.
He's an apprentice on a tugboat, and he has a bull terrier.
There you go.
A target dog.
Yeah, this guy, it was like a really long package about his tugboating yeah. and his dog and him shirtless.
Yes, this is my official why did we see this run of the night.
Yeah, and then like this long package and then down on the lightning bolts.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no explanation for you.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we're montaging Lauren Ball.
Yeah. The fastest to the monkey bars, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brandon Varner before Lauren Ball, though, did go all the way to the lightning bolts before going down.
Great.
Yeah. Then we get to Lauren Ball, who is always entered. Like he was going fast. Like that's at least let's see the people who go fast. He made it all the way to the floating monkey bars before unfortunately going down. As you said, he was the fastest to the floating monkey bars by a good 10 seconds over David Moonen. So, you know, wish you could have seen it.
Yeah, but we didn't. But we'll see him in Vegas.
Yes. Then we have Sean Bryan, who we were reminded of his injury, which I had forgotten about because it was such a factor.
I haven't forgotten about it because it's extremely gross and I will never forget the close-up footage that showed us of it.
Yeah, I'm doing my best. he has the speed pass, which means he's already qualified for Vegas, so this doesn't even matter. And he is going to really take on the course with reckless abandon and just dominates the lightning bolts. He skips the whole like second part of it essentially by going straight from the end of the first part to the second half of the second part and gets through it in three moves. Just three moves.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bummer that he doesn't have the safety pass because I feel like he could do well with it. But it's also sort of like he's gone to stage three both of the last 2 years. So like of all the people who need it, he's probably someone who's not going to be able to use it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, obviously would have liked to see Sean Bryan with a safety pass, whatever. But I don't mind that he doesn't have it, because I, like we were talking about it at the start of the season, like, is Sean Bryan one of the greats? And mm-hmm. I feel like he makes it to stage three again this season, three times in a row. That solidifies him in the top echelon of ninjas. If he did it with a safety pass, yeah, would have been debatable, in my opinion.
Yeah. Asterisk. So congrats, Sean Bryan. You now get to prove yourself to us specifically.
Exactly. Like, I get that you're disappointed you don't have the safety pass, but think about it this way. You'll get to prove yourself to us. So
this is a much higher honor. Yeah.
So he gets through, he gets all the way to the floating monkey bars, but unfortunately has a lot of trouble locking in the bar into the little hooks, and he's gonna like swing back a good three or four times and continue to miss over and over, and eventually he's just gonna fall into the water. We're not gonna be able to see him on the Northwest Passage.
Yeah, RIP, but at least this course didn't really matter for his ankle.
Yeah.
Because it's all swinging from stuff.
Then we get to Jesse Graff, and we were reminded of her history with city finals courses, that she has made it to the ninth obstacle a few times. She even made it all the way to the final obstacle once. Didn't happen to be the spider trap on that one. Bad luck there.
Yeah.
Really, you know, I almost feel like that's one of the reasons why they're still at the spider trap instead of one of the more difficult obstacles, because Jesse Graff should be a city finals finisher. Like,
yeah,
especially comparing her to Casey, like Casey's final obstacle was like super. It was like just like a spider climb with no walls. Right. Like it was easy. And especially like the city finals courses have gotten more difficult since Casey finished it anyway. So the fact that Jesse even made it to the 10th obstacle, if the 10th obstacle itself just by itself had been the same one that Casey had, Jesse would have finished it. And Jesse had a harder course to even get to that point in the first place. So in my eyes, Jesse is basically a city's final course finisher. Because I also think that even if it hadn't been Casey's, if it had been the spider trap, the one that they have now, I think she would have been able to complete it. So they talk about, like, she's gotten very close a lot of times. Can she do it this time? And this is one of the reasons why I'm just like, why did you put her in this city if this is going to be her storyline? Like,
right.
She could have completed some of these other ones. I get, like, she did the best of anybody. It doesn't matter that she didn't make the power tower because she wasn't fast enough. Screw that. She made it the furthest on the Northwest Passage. She did better than anybody else on this course. And, you know, come on.
Yeah, the best ninja in Seattle is a woman. And here's my only theory, my conspiracy theory. They want to make sure that she keeps coming back to ninja as her star grows and as she misses stuff for work. So they can't let her finish the city final because they know she'll never quit until she does it.
There you go. Yeah, she can't be Casey Catanzaro level of stardom.
They designed the entire city finals course in Seattle to make sure that no one finished.
They were like, Casey so abandoned us. We've already seen Jesse start to abandon us. We can't let her get this one under her belt.
Yeah. So if Jesse can't finish, no one finishes. So we're going to make this course impossible.
Clearly. So that's what we're going to see. She gets all the way through. I was a little concerned on the lightning bolts, but she got through those fine. Really just very, you know, slow and steady here. Not that slow, but, you know, in comparison to the two that made it there faster, she was about a minute behind, Carson and Dan. And then so she makes it through the floating monkey bars, misses a couple of times, I think, but manages to get through. And then, of course, getting to the Northwest Passage, she gets down the downslope. She also uses that figure four technique, but then kind of abandons it and just kind of tries to swing up. She gets almost to the top. She had like one more rung, essentially. If she'd reached up to that last handle, then she would have been able to transfer over and then gone down. Who knows if she had the strength left to continue down, but the down is way easier than the up on this one. So, could have come close.
Yeah. God, I love her. And just like, the best ninja here is a woman. And like, that is so cool and like means a lot. I don't know. There's like so many more women now. But Jessi Graf has really shown that like she is the one who really like, in a lot of ways it was Casey, but I feel like the consistency of Jessi Graf has shown that like women can do literally anything. You just have to like do pull-ups with your pig strapped to your body. In YouTube videos.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, Casey definitely, I think, you know, I don't think the Casey run will ever be topped in terms of like how much it blew up. And, yeah. And I think that like Casey's run will always look the most impressive because of how small right. she was on these big obstacles. Yeah. Even though the obstacles now are, I think, more difficult, they yeah. don't look as difficult in some cases. You have to sort of have the knowledge yeah. that they're super difficult. So it's
yeah, definitely.
It's going to be harder for like it to go viral and like look impressive standing on its own. But Jessi is definitely. I'm trying to bring up her placement in. City finals courses, but I'm pretty sure that she is consistently in the top like five in the city finals yeah. for the last, you know, 4 years or so.
Yeah. She's not fast, but she goes the furthest out of like most people every year. And also credit where credit's due. Alyssa Beard too is like a huge barrier breaker in that she was the only woman to finish stage one last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First woman to finish stage one. No. I mean, Jessi did it, but it wasn't in regular competition. It was in like a USA versus the world or whatever.
You know, I can't remember now. Was she the?
I think Alyssa had to be the first.
Jessi, I thought Jessi did the year before.
Oh, the year before, maybe. Yeah. Oh, Jessi finished stage two in a USA versus the world. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I believe Jessi completed stage one. And then the next year, Alyssa did. And
it,
then the next year, no one did, even
no
though
women.
A bunch of them came close.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, just it's remarkable stuff. I wish I could have the stats because I feel like it might not be wrong to say that I don't think Jessi has ever qualified via wild card or women's role.
And if she did, it was like one of her first seasons. Yeah. Yeah, she's incredible.
All right. So, unfortunately, though, not going to take part in the Power Tower. We do get to the Power Tower, and it's going to be Dan Yeager versus Carson Voiles.
Sure, the matchup of the century.
And this, again, this the Power Tower, it's not exactly exciting to begin with, this version of it. And this one, it's just going to, you know, Dan Yeager, unfortunately, going to have some trouble making it through the first part, and then so Carson is just kind of do it and win.
Yeah, great, thrilling stuff. It takes about 2 seconds to watch these things.
So there you go, Carson Voiles has a safety pass.
Yay! Congratulations, Carson Voiles. I'm sorry everybody in your life is sick.
Yeah,
but everybody seems to be doing okay now.
All right, so that's what we have from Seattle, Tacoma. Dan Yeager was the fastest to the Northwest Passage, followed by Carson Voiles, who won the safety pass. Then we had Jessi Graf, who made it to the Northwest Passage. Then Lauren Ball, who was the fastest to the Floating Monkey Bars, followed by David Moonen, Matt Dulcey, Zach Scholes, Maddie Howard, Scott Behrens, Nate Burkhalter, Nick Hansen, and Sean Darling Hammond. Those are going to be our people heading to Vegas.
Yeah. It's a stacked lineup. There were a lot of disappointments this episode and frustrations.
Yes, it was a very, you know, this episode did, it felt like just get it out. Just get it. Rip off the Band-Aid. Just go. Just get mm-hmm. get to the next one.
Yep. But next week we got Baltimore and then Cincinnati and then it's Vegas.
Yes.
Are you so excited?
Very excited. Especially with these safety passes. I'm curious to see if we get more people in stage three. That'll be exciting.
I believe Vegas airs, the first episode of Vegas airs on my 1/4 birthday.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah. So the big 1/4.
Yeah, that's more than a 12th, more than even a 6th.
Some might say more than a 5th.
I mean, can you do 5ths, though?
Of birthdays? Yeah. I could figure it out, yeah. Based on how much I love birthdays.
I mean, at that point, you're opening it up to infinite fractional birthdays.
Yeah. Please read my memoir, Infinite Fractional Birthdays, where I celebrate my birthday every single day.
365th.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There you go. Now that's the spirit. You haven't wished me a happy whatever birthday it is for me today. But you know what is happy? We have a review.
There you go.
We have, is that all we have from the episode? Were there any Gabajabila moments? We good?
I think there was one, but I don't remember it.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. This might be my favorite review of all time. So, 5 stars called Awesome from Nature Ninja Warrior. This podcast is great. Third favorite ninja podcast. I love Darren and I'm vegan just like Lita. I too love Darren Armstrong. It's spelled D-A-R-A-N.
You know,
so it's spelled right. It's just Darren.
This brings me back. I'm sure I've told this, not that it's a story, but I'm sure I've said this fact on this podcast before. But being in the top 3 triple jumpers at my high school, making it into the state whatever competition it was, because I was in the top 3 of the 3 triple jumpers at my high school. So I'm very glad to be in the top 3 of the 3 Ninja Warrior podcasts that exist.
Yeah. And you know what, Darren? I think that's a high honor for us. My name is spelled right, even though my name is weirder.
I mean, my name is pretty weird, too, to be fair.
It's never been a Lita on SNL.
That's true. It's true.
Or in the Disney canon.
But there also aren't Litas that are spelled differently, like L-E-E-T.
L-E-D-A is the common spelling.
Really?
The
I've Greek never way. Seen that before. Yep.
So there's a Greek myth called Lita and the Swan, which is spelled L-E-D-A. So when I say, you know, I'm a server, I introduce myself to many people each day and say, like, my name's Lita, I'll be taking care of you. And the number one thing is like, oh, like Lita and the Swan. And I'm like, no.
Do you ever get like, okay, Lisa?
Oh my God. My official, I think I have a tweet about this, but I was like, my like official work greeting is like, hi there, Lisa. Just like every email that I've ever gotten.
There you go.
Like, my name is right there. It's right there. But there's famous people that are spelled the same way. But Lita, L-E-D-A, the Greek way.
Who's
is
the most famous Lita?
There's a country singer named Lita Ford that's spelled my way. And there's also a wrestler whose wrestling name is just Lita, L-I-T-A.
Yeah, I Googled Lita and the first thing that came up was Lita Wrestler.
Yeah,
Amy
so
Christine
I believe...
Dumas.
Lita Christine Dumas.
Amy Christine Dumas, better known as her ring name, Lita.
Oh, okay. I was like, is she related to Alexander Dumas? Is this another Lita? No, as you are one of the top 3 triple jumpers, and we are one of the top 3 American Ninja Warrior podcasts, I believe I am the top 3 most famous Litas on Twitter.
I mean, I think clearly, I don't think this Lita counts. It's not her real name. So that's one down.
Okay, so then I'm number 2. Lita Ford is definitely the most famous.
And she let me tell you, she occupies all of the first page of the Google results. So Lita Ford, nowhere to be seen here.
Yeah.
I'm on the 3rd page. I still haven't seen any. It's all WWE. Where is Lita? Is she spelled the same way?
Yeah.
All right, there she is.
No, she's on the 3rd page. Yeah. I don't think I'm really ever going to come up on this, but I think I am the 3rd on Twitter. Maybe. I don't know.
There should be a way to check. It's yeah, better that it's better be. Than when you Google Taran. There is a gun company named Taran Tactical, and that is apparently the first thing that comes up now on Google if you Google Taran.
Oh, great!
So thanks for that.
That's fabulous. Oh, I just put Lita into Twitter, and for people, I'm the 3rd one.
There you go.
So there you go. I'm before Lita Ford, but this might be catered to me. In which case, shouldn't I be first? Anyway, the vegan wrestler, I mean, the wrestler Lita is also vegan.
Oh.
Something about the name. And so is the person who owns the Twitter handle Lita Tweets, which is what I wanted. But Lita Tweets has way more followers than me.
The Taran Show, on page 3 of Google, when you Google Taran.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think Lita Tweets is me in like 20 years because her bio on Twitter is active writer and editor. Sports make me crazy. Yoga relaxes me. Vegan food sustains me. All tweets are personal, most lean left.
There you go.
Maybe I'm more moderate in the future. Yeah, I get it, Taran. You're very famous. You're one of the most famous Tarans.
similar in scope to Lita Ford.
Yeah.
Third page of Google.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I would say you're exactly as famous as Lita Ford.
That sounds right to me.
You should be a country singer.
Yeah. I'll go to the Stagecoach.
She has 177,000 followers. How do you know about Stagecoach?
It's been a big thing on Big Brother.
Oh, it's been a big thing on The Bachelor, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Everybody's oh, yeah, you know what? I saw that.
Yeah, about Stagecoach. All right. Anything to promote besides being probably the second most famous Taran?
Well, let's not go that far. There's still the Indian film critic Taran Adarsh.
Wow, Taran Tactical Innovations, literally the first result.
Was not kidding.
Gunning for the stars with Taran
Butler.
There's
also Taran from the Black Cauldron.
Did you know that Taran is the name of Welsh origin and it means thunder?
I was told that, yes.
Wow. Yeah, this is mostly Disney and guns.
Yeah. And then there's, of course, the SNL person.
Yeah, Taran Killam is quite famous, in my opinion.
Yeah, apparently behind Taran Butler, who created this Taran Tactical, I guess.
Yeah, and wow, there you go. Yeah, you are third page, Taran Show. And Taran Wanderer quotes.
What?
By Lord Alexander, I don't know.
Oh, yes, that's from the Black Cauldron.
Oh, okay, yeah, I've never seen it.
All right, hey, look, Taran Killam on third page as well.
You're exactly as famous as him.
Yeah, and his 300,000 followers.
You two could be married to Kobe Smulders.
All right, that's what we have. Make sure you check out my check out the Taran Show on the third page of Google.
All you have to do is Google Taran and go to the third page.
Yeah, I don't even have to plug it. Just Google Taran. Go to the third page. It's very simple. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taran Armstrong. I'm actually in the process of creating some Taran Show shirts because I wore one the other day and people were like, hey, I want one of those. And I was like, okay.
Make a tank top.
You know, I'm starting small, but there are plenty of options. I just didn't want to overwhelm people with options.
I want a tank top. I don't wear t-shirts.
All right. Well, we'll see what we can do. Okay. You can find information about that if you're interested on my Twitch channel. I'll probably have a link there. I might tweet it out at some point as well. But that's what I've got going on. You can also find me, of course, on Twitter @ArmstrongTaran. Lita, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter @LitaTweeted and on Instagram @LitaGrammed. You can also find my writing at litawrote.blogspot.com. Should have something up there on Friday, hopefully.
All right. So thank you so much for joining us this week. We will be back next week with, what did you say, Baltimore is next?
Yep.
All right. So we'll have some fun there and we will see you next time.
Good morning, everyone. I've got a question to ask. Do you want